Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just gone 10 minutes past the hour of 9. We welcome you to the airwaves of Radio Islam International this Friday morning. It is once again all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has blessed us with a noble day of Jum'ah, the greatest day upon which the sun rises. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us that we live this day and the rest of the week in the total obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in trying to carry out the sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Being a Friday morning, every Friday morning we have the Sahaba focus during this time. Our guest on this program is Mulana Muhammad Aku, and Mulana delivers and explains to us the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, by which and from which we can draw inspiration and we can make an intention to learn about the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and to try and live our lives like how they had lived their lives, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today Mawlana speaks on the very interesting life of a Sahabi by the name of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radiallahu ta'ala an. A very inspiring story, a very interesting story. Let us listen attentively.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all our respected listeners. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us for his mubarak deen, and may Allah enable us to appreciate this deen that Sahaba رضي الله عنهم appreciated. Sahaba رضي الله عنهم took deen to heart. They learned the deen, they implemented it in their lives completely, and they didn't keep it for themselves. They shared it with the whole of mankind. It was in the sixth year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, from this truce, where the Meccans refused the Muslims entry and refused to allow them to perform Umrah. It was Dhul-Qa'dah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, Sahaba radiallahu anhum were hurt, because they were missing, they were yearning the Kaaba, performing tawaf. They grew up there, especially the Muhajirin. And now they turned back and they're not given the permission to perform Umrah, it hurt them. The verses of the Quran were revealed. Allah Ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ ويتم نعمته عليك ويهديك صراطا مستقيما. The opening verses of Surah Al-Fath, that O my Nabi, indeed we have granted you, we have given you a clear cut victory, a complete victory. Sahaba radiallahu anhum asked amongst each other, we're walking back to Medina, we didn't fulfill, we didn't accomplish our wish, our desire, our intentions were to perform Umrah, now we're removing our hair, we're making our sacrifice without entering Makkah. Is this a victory? And then they really realized, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told them, definitely, this is the greatest of victories. Sahaba then said, we haven't seen a victory as great as Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Because one of the clauses of the truce was, now there's no more battle between Makkah and Medina. The Meccans can't just attack Medina at any time. Because that's what was happening in Medina Munawwara. There was a lot of battle because there was always always anticipation of the arrival of the Meccans, because the Meccans wanted to eradicate the Muslims of Medina Munawwara. They didn't want Islam to exist. Now, one of the clauses of the treaty was, okay, there is ceasefire, no more fighting. So this was a great achievement. And then what was to come after that was, it gave the Muslims the opportunity to take deen and make it available to all the different people around the entire globe. So Allah returned to Medina Munawwara. He gathered his Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Masjid al-Nabawi, and he now gave them this encouragement. He said to them, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعْثَنِي كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ رَحْمَةً فَأَدُّوا عَنِّي. O my Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Allah has sent me for the whole of mankind. You take this deen and pass it on to mankind from me. فَأَدُّوا عَنِّي. And he even said to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, O my Sahaba, don't be like the previous nations. When their Nabi would assign them to do a certain task, if it was accordance to their whims or their feelings and their fancies, they would undertake that task. And if it wasn't, then they weren't ready. O my Sahaba, you should be ready. Sahaba radiallahu anhum said, O Nabi of Allah, wherever you want to send us, wherever you want to send us, we are ready to go. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent different Sahaba to the different kings of the world. and to invite these kings to Allah Ta'ala. Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi illustrates here that these letters were sent by Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to these kings who were the superpowers of that time. For example, the hero of this incident we're going to be discussing, Abdullah bin Hudhafa. Abdullah bin Hudhafa bin Qais bin Adi bin Sa'ad bin Sahm bin Amr bin Husayf bin Ka'b bin Lu'ay Al-Qurashi Al-Sahmi radiyallahu anhu. So easy to remember for us, my respected listeners, Abdullah bin Hudhafa Al-Sahmi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was assigned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to take the message of Islam, to take the letter of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Persian Empire. Yahya Kalbi. Yahya Kalbi radiyallahu anhu, a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was assigned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter and to take the message of Islam to the Roman Empire. Dihya Kalbi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was Dihya ibn Khalifa ibn Farwa ibn Fadala ibn Zayd ibn Imr al-Qais ibn al-Khazraj ibn Amir ibn Bakr ibn Amir al-Akbar. His entire name Al-Kalbi. He comes from the Banu Kalb tribe. He accepted Islam also in the early stages. Now, different Sahaba were assigned to take letters to different kings. Hatib radiallahu anhu was assigned to take the message of Islam and the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Egypt. Now, like this, these Sahaba were assigned to take these letters and take the message of Islam to these kings. It was no simple task. It was something very, very grave, very, very great. Scholars say that many a time Sahaba radiallahu anhu are going there. Sometimes they're going to these regions for the first time. They don't have family there. Sometimes they don't even know the languages of those kings. And they're going to invite these kings who are the superpowers of their time. The two superpowers of those days, Al-Imratur, they're known as Al-Imraturiyatan, the two superpowers of that age in the world, was the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. And the others were also senior kings, like Najashi, like Muqawqis of Alexandria. And also one king of also stature was the king of the two kings of Oman, Abd and Jaifar. But these two were superpowers. And Abdullah bin Hudhafa now is sent to take this letter of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this king. He's going to a land he doesn't know. He's leaving his family. It was really a journey that had its worry. إِنَّهَا رِحْلَةٌ خَطِرَةٌ. It was a dangerous journey. Scholars say, الذاهب فيها مفقود والعائد منها مولود. He says, understand it this way. It's like you were going for this journey. It was not expected that you're going to come back. You're going to stand in front of a ruler and to tell him that Allah is one. And he has his other faith all his life. وَالْعَائِدُ مِنْهَا مَوْلُودٌ. And if you had to come back, say, from that journey, it is as though you're born again, because it wasn't expected. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum were ready to undertake this task. He appointed these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and they were ready. The Sahabi Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhum, he prepares his conveyance, he bids his family farewell, and he undertakes this journey with eagerness, with this zest, with this desire that, oh Allah, even those people, even the Persian Empire, who are ascribing partners unto you, who don't know you, who haven't recognized you, who haven't heard about you, they also must hear about you. They must also learn about you. Alone, but with this concern at heart, the Sahabi undertakes this lengthy journey of weeks, my respected listeners. After journeying through the highlands, through the lowlands, climbing the mountains, going into the valleys, looking, following, searching for these lands. And after a lengthy journey, he finally reaches the lands of Persia. The lands of Persia. The ruler of Persia was Kisra. Kisra was the title. Kisra, like king. It's a title of a Persian king. His name was Khusro. And Mawlana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah in his Sira book, of Asirat al-Nabawiyyah, he explains what a king he was and the accomplishments this king had actually accomplished and so forth. For so many years he ruled, and there was so much of opulence in the lands of Persia, and they were really advanced as far as that time is concerned. Considering that age, they were one of the most advanced kingdoms as far as their living conditions are concerned, their food, their advancements and so forth. The Sahabi comes before the ruler. He seeks permission to enter. And as he enters, he comes forth. One of the servants or the courtiers of the king comes forth to take the letter from the Sahabi radiallahu anhu. But actually, before the Sahabi comes in, Kisra instructed, because he heard that the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has sent a letter for him. So an envoy has come from Arabia, from Medina. So he commanded that his court should be beautified, and his where the Sahabi was to be welcomed, and it was all decorated and beautified, and then the Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu enters. Now imagine the Sahabi dressed simple clothing, kurta, imama, simple clothing, and he's coming and entering upon a ruler who's the superpower of that time. He's the superpower of that time. But the Sahabi is entering with such himmat, standing tall, standing firm, with the power of iman, with the flame of iman burning in his heart, with that glory of iman burning in his heart. Really, this is deen. Really, this is haq. Imagine, how can this be anything but haq? And Mawlana Abul Hasan explains here that this is no ordinary task. This nobody can just do, write a letter and send it to the superpower of that time, unless it is coming from Allah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent these Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he comes before this ruler, and he stands there with the power of iman, with conviction, with his beautiful sunnat libas. The sunnat libas is the libas of every environment. A mu'min, a Muslim, should not feel shy to dress in the sunnat libas, the clothing, the beautiful clothing of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in any environment he goes in. The sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perfect. We are Muslims. We are the followers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We don't say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in Persia, do as the Persians do. We say, wherever you are, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow his Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum's teaching. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's way taught to us by the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, who took the deen to the four corners of the world. He stands before this ruler. And this is a man that people in the four corners of the world feared. And his brutality was known. The way he would torture people was known. It was famous about him. People around the world would hear what he had to say and would just submit and surrender and accept, because he was Kisra. His treasures were even calculated by historians. Historians even mention what were the amount of his treasures. They say that when he built another palace, and the wealth from one palace was shifted to another palace, and they counted the pieces of gold, they say what was transported was 468 million weights of gold, misqals of gold. 468 million pieces of gold. And then they say it's equivalent to 375 million golden francs. And then there's different, so much of wealth this king had. He was revered and respected. But look at Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, not taking effect from any of that. He stands before this ruler and he wants to present the letter. So Kisra says to one of his men, go towards this man and take the letter. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu refuses and says, my Nabi has instructed me to hand over the letter to the king, hand to hand. I want to do as my Nabi has told me. So Kisra allowed the Sahabi radiallahu anhu to come closer. He comes before Kisra. He hands over the letter to the king. The king calls an Arab scribe from Hira, because there were Arabs living there in Hira, and he says to him, open the letter and render it to me. And in the letter, it was inscribed, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, min Muhammadin Rasulillah ila Kisra Azim Faris. Salamun ala man ittaba'a al-huda. It is quite a long letter. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Rasul of Allah, to Kisra, the great ruler of Persia. Salamun ala man ittaba'a al-huda. Salams for those who emulate and follow guidance. Just Kisra heard this much, and he was enraged. His face turned red, and his jugular vein started to become apparent. He was upset. He pulled the letter from his scribe, and he tore it apart without even knowing what was the content of the letter. And what was the reason for his anger, for his rage, was how can Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam write the letter mentioning his name first before my name, and he is my slave, and I am his master. Na'udhu billah, na'udhu billah. Now this was the pride and the tyranny of these kings. He says, take this man out of my court. Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu was then pulled out of the court of Kisra, and as he's standing outside, he's thinking, now what should I do? So he's waiting outside. He doesn't know whether he's going to be killed, or whether he's going to be released, or whether he's going to be left as a free man. But what was his slogan? That as long as I did what my Nabi wanted, I am happy. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to present the letter, I have presented the letter. And then no one came for some time, so he got onto his conveyance and he went away. Because his task, his chore was fulfilled, to hand over the letter to the ruler. After some time, the anger of Kisra subsided. So he said, call that envoy. They came out of the palace, they searched for him, he was nowhere to be found. They looked for him, they could not find any trace. They even looked on the road towards Arabia. They had found that they hadn't found him. Anyway, Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu had headed back now. And when he arrives in Medina Munawwara, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam welcomed him. And he presented the entire kargozari to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then commented, Mazzaqallahu fi mulkah. That when he has torn the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calling him to Allah, Allah ta'ala will tear apart his kingdom. Because he showed disrespect to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter. I want my respected listeners to remember, here Kisra tears the letter. And sometime I'm going to share with you in some time, inshallah, in this program, Allah ta'ala make the time and put barakah, what was the approach, what was the response of the Roman Empire? Allah give us barakah in time. Here he tears the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because one's actions has an impact. Allah ta'ala treats you according to your actions. Similar to what you do, that will happen to you. Al-jaza'u min jinsil amal. Anyway, what Kisra then did, because of his rage, he wrote a letter to his governor over Yemen. The Persians were ruling Yemen. What happened was, in past history, the Jews ruled Yemen, and the Christians were oppressed. The Christians were oppressed, and that's referred to in Surah Al-Buruj, where the Jews oppressed the Christians, who were the true Muslims at that time, and that ruler dug trenches and killed the Muslims, meaning the followers of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then after that, Allah ta'ala removed the Jews and gave the Christians a chance. The Christians ruled. But when Abraha tried to show his pride and his haughtiness, and he tried to break down the Kaaba, Allah ta'ala destroyed them, and then after that the Persians took over. So at this time, Persia were ruling Yemen. So if you look at majority of the world, most of it was ruled by half by the Roman Empire, the other half by the Persian Empire. These two empires ruled most of the known world at that time. He writes to Badhan. Badhan is his governor over Yemen. O Badhan, send two of your strong, macho, well-bodied men to the lands of Hijaz and instruct them to arrest this man, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, give them this letter and such and such. So Badhan immediately, you know, arrest Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and bring him to meet Kisra, duna ibta'in, without any delay. and also tell them to get information, more information about Muhammad on their journey in regards to his whereabouts. Whatever more information they can accumulate, they should accumulate. Badan appointed two of his men, his close associates, strong men, and they undertook this journey. They finally reached Taif, and there they found some traders of Quraysh, and they asked them about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, no, you won't find Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here. This is the way you have to go to Yathrib. And now these traders gave these two men full directions on how to get to Yathrib. Because these traders were from Makkah, and the Meccan people were still idol worshippers, mushrikeen. But they could not attack Medina Munawwara because of the truce that took place in the previous year, not long ago. So they were very happy that Kisra is now going for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were too happy about that. So they gave complete directions. This is how you will go to Medina and reach Yathrib. And they then, after their trade, returned to Makkah very, very happily, giving everyone good news that now be happy because Kisra is now going for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's investigating Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's case, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now finished. Na'udhu billah. Anyway, they don't know. They didn't know that Allah is the doer and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's Nabi. These two men headed for Medina Munawwara, and they reached there, and they come to meet the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they presented their letter, the letter of Badan, their governor, that was under the instruction of Kisra. And they said to him, but then, my respected listeners, an amazing thing happened when they entered Medina. When they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face away. And then he asked them, why is it that you remove your beard and lengthen your mustache? They said, our Lord Kisra commands us to do this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Lakin amarani Rabbi, but my Rabb, my Allah, my Lord has commanded me to lengthen the beard and remove the mustache. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this to them. Allah give us tawfiq, my respected listeners, that we must do what Allah's Nabi did. We must want to look like the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, live like the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be like the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything he did, that's what we must do. This is what Quran teaches us, that Allah has placed complete success. Allah has complete, complete success in the way, in the sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To such an extent that even the verse of the Quran that informs us, that teaches us, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the perfect example. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala says in this verse that definitely for you in the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ is the perfect example. Is the perfect example. Then Allah Ta'ala is telling everyone to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this verse speaks of three qualities. He who has these will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more automatically. Yarjullah, he has the fear of Allah. And he has the fear of standing before Allah one day. And he remembers Allah Ta'ala profusely and abundantly. And interestingly, this verse of the Quran where Allah informs us that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the perfect example for you. There's seven emphases in this verse. So Allah give us tawfiq to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every way. Because this is the way of success. So then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to them, okay, you have just arrived, you have brought this letter, you want to take me to meet Kisra, but you have just come into my city, spend some time here. Because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam system, ikram was given to every person. Every person that came to Medina Munawwara was shown the beauty of deen, was given the opportunity to live in that environment of Medina Munawwara, the sweetness of iman. Anyway, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would generally give a person to someone to take care of that person. So these men were kept in Medina for some time. The ikram was made. They were given the opportunity to see what was happening in Medina, see the beauty of Islam. And then now they had to return. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a place to stay, you know, and told them to stay some time. Now when they came, the next day or after a few days, exactly, historically, both are mentioned. They come to the Nabi of Allah and say, now you must come with us. Are you ready for the journey to go and meet Kisra? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but you'll never meet Kisra after today. لَن تَلْقَيَا Kisra بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ because my Lord has killed your Lord. إِنَّ رَبِّي قَتَلَ رَبَّكُمْ. They said, what? You want us to document this? Because you know, if what you're saying is not true, then you're really going to be in trouble. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can document as you wish. And now both of them, they had to now depart from Medina Munawwara. as they return to Yemen to give report to their governor Badhan, as they are presenting this message to Badhan, just then the letter of Shirawi, Khusru's son, Shirawi, the son of the Kisra, comes to Badhan that I have killed the king Kisra and I'm now the king. Because of his injustice, because of his tyranny, because of his usurping the people's wealth and such, I have now killed him, I am now the king, so you are now under me. And what you must do is, my father had wrote to you to get to arrest Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Hijaz in Medina, just don't interfere with him at all. This letter from Shirawi arrived in the court of Badhan, the governor of Yemen, just as his men were giving him the report that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Kisra is dead. This shocked them all. And they were so affected by this that all three of them accepted Islam. They accepted Islam and they started spreading Islam in Yemen. And this was the first entry of Islam in the lands of Yemen. My respected listeners, this is how Sahaba radiallahu anhum made effort and this is how the deen spread. In Yemen, alhamdulillah, deen spread rapidly, alhamdulillah. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this Kisra has actually torn apart his own kingdom. Because then Kisra died. Shirawi was another Kisra, was another king. He, not long after that, maybe a few months after his father, he also passed away. Because what happened was, his father had actually realized that the son wants to kill him. So the father put poison, see when there's no deen, when there's no consciousness of Allah, father put poison in the tablets that he would use for relation, for strength, knowing that his son would want that. And he poisoned that. And not long after the father, the son was actually poisoned by the father before the father passed away and the son died after that. And then a time came into this Persian kingdom where there was no men to rule. Because one of the rulers killed all the male issue of his father and his uncles. So there was no one to rule. And then he couldn't bear children. So they couldn't find anyone to rule. And then only there were female rulers. They found one woman to rule and there was a lot of turmoil. And there was one woman of one ruler who then escaped and lived with her son who was still an infant among the masses, not informing him that he is one of the royal family. And some time later, when there was a need in Persia, when there was no one to rule, then they found him. They hunted him down and they found him. And he was the last Persian ruler who was known as Yazdajird before it had collapsed completely. Then Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu was in Medina Munawwara with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave his life for the deen of Allah ta'ala. But before I continue with Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, I want to share Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Dihya Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Persia, to the Roman Empire. So just like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu to Persia, he sent Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu to the Roman Empire. Now Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, later in his life, he was striving in the path of Allah ta'ala in an area called Qaisariya. And while he was in this region, him and his men were taken captive by the Roman Empire. And this was many years later. So this incident where he meets Kisra was in the 7th year after Hijrah. And years later, in the 19th year after Hijrah, Allah gave him an encounter with the Roman Empire. And his encounter with the Roman Empire is really amazing. It's amazing. That was in the 19th year after Hijrah. But before I share that incident, I want to share Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter to the Roman Empire. Who did Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Dihya Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Dihya ibn Khalifa al-Kalbi radiallahu anhu. He undertakes this journey. And he goes now to Rome. Lengthy journey. And Hazrat Mufti Udal Haq Sahib, damat barakat to him. Allah ta'ala give him barakah in his life. And give us all tawfiq and the ummah tawfiq to benefit immensely from the ilm, from the uloom of this giant of Islam. Hazrat explained that how, look at the wisdom of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu. And his beauty and his symptoms, his appearance was similar to the Roman people. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would send the right man for the right job, the correct man to do the correct task. Anyway, when Dihya Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu arrives to present the letter to the Roman Empire, what had happened was there were battles between the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. And Quran also refers to this. The Persians attacked the Romans and they had conquered them. And the Romans had completely dropped totally. But then the Quran said that the Romans were defeated. And then after they were defeated, they will defeat again. But this was something unbelievable at that time, because they were dropped and defeated so badly. It was expected that they're not going to get back onto their feet. But Quran said they would in a few years. So it was 9 years later. Bid'ah. Bid'ah means from 3 to 10. So it was 9 years later when the Romans got back their strength and they conquered the Persians and they had won. And they had defeated the Persians. And now the Roman Empire at that time, to make shukr, to appreciate this gift of victory, he then walked to Palestine, to Baytul Maqdis. He walked to Baytul Maqdis, bare feet, to make shukr. And in that interim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's letter goes to, comes to him. Anyway, Yahya Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he comes to present the letter to this king, and next, Mawlana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali, in his Hayat al-Sahaba in Volume 1, he mentions this entire encounter where Yahya radiallahu anhu says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me to Qaisar. Qaisar. Hiraql. Hiraql was his name. He was Qaisar. The title of the Roman Empire is Qaisar. So I presented the letter to him, and he had a nephew of his who was red in color, and he had, you know, long hair and so forth. He describes him, and he says his nephew read the letter to him. Min Muhammadin Rasulillah ila Hiraql as-Sahib al-Rum, from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah, to Hiraql, the ruler, the man in charge of Rome. So this nephew of his was very upset and said, no, we're not going to read this letter. So Qaisar said, why? He says, no, he starts the letter mentioning him first. And then he said, you are in charge of Rome, Sahib al-Rum, and so forth. Why didn't he say Malik al-Rum? And then in the letter, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said an interesting thing to this king, that, oh, Qaisar, accept Islam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the verse of the Quran also. أهل الكتاب تعالوا إلى كلمة سواء بيننا وبينكم. Come to common terms between you and us, that we worship one Allah and do not ascribe partners unto Him, and we should not take each other as deities, because the one deity, the one creator, the one God is one Allah who has no partner at all. And then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him that, O Roman Empire, Emperor, O ruler of Rome, فَإِنْ تَوَلَّيْتَ, if you turn away from this message, فَإِنَّ عَلَيْكَ إِثْمُ الْأَرِيسِيِّينَ, then the sin of the Arisiyin will be upon you. So interestingly, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to the Roman Empire, Emperor, that the sin of the Arisiyin will be on your shoulders if you do not accept Islam? This is a very interesting point. Why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say the sin of the Arisiyun? Because the Arisiyun, scholars discuss who were they actually. Some say they were farmers. Because if you look at the language, Arabic language, it could mean farmers. But then if you study the life of the Roman people, they were not farmers. They were actually tradesmen, agriculturers, manufacturers. The Persians were actually farmers. So why didn't Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say in the letter he wrote to the Persian emperor that the sin of the farmers will be upon you? Why did he write this to the Roman emperor? Because what happens is, if a ruler denies, others are also going to deny because of him. But then there's another meaning of this word. Mawlana Abu Hassan Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi says, Arisiyun actually means the followers of Aryus. Who was Aryus? Aryus was a follower of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was a scholar. He lived in the years 280 right till 336. Aryus. Aryus believed in one Allah. He believed that Allah has no partner. Isa alayhi salam is the messenger of Allah. Allah is the greatest. Allah is one. Isa alayhi salam has come to teach mankind about Allah. So he had the belief of Tawheed, Aryus. And what happened was, at that time, this was 280 years after Isa alayhi salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born 570 years after Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So this was during that interim. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling the Roman Empire that, see, the followers of Aryus are still believers in one Allah. Because Aryus advocated belief in one Allah. But then the ruler of the Roman Empire at that time, 280 years and 300 years after Isa alayhi salam, was affected by Greek, you know, teachings and religion of ascribing partners unto Allah. They know there's three gods. God has one in three, and three is one. And they had different types of explaining three gods, son, and so forth. You know, they explained from their father, son, ghost, and so forth. And they tried to take something very similar to idol worship and ascribing partners unto Allah. But this man, Aryus, He was a Muslim. He stood firm and said, no, Allah is one. Allah is one. So what the Roman emperor did, Constantine, he in the year 325 had rallied many, many bishops, Christian scholars, followers of Isa alayhi salam, 2,018 of them. Sorry, 2,080 of them were rallied, and they had this discussion in Rome, in Constantinople. And what was the discussion? There was a debate to say, is Allah one or na'udhu billah three? And Arius was the man who debated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only one and Allah has no partner. And in this debate, the other man who was claiming that Allah is that it's three, he was Athanasius. He was fighting to say, no, it's three, it's not one. And in the debate, Arius won that debate. And there was votes after that. Everyone voted to say that Allah is one, except 318. 318 said no three. But Constantine was affected by that idolatry, and he then tried to kill the Muslimin, those who worshipped in one Allah, and he banished many of them, and some of them were killed, and all the books written, the scriptures of Arius, were then destroyed. But Arius didn't stop. He kept on calling to Allah, kept on inviting to Allah, explaining that Allah is one. That's why we find that the Egyptians were very quick to accept Islam when Umar bin As radiallahu anhu came to them, because they were affected by the teachings of Arius. Even the Muslims of North Africa, you know, further down, right till Tunisia, and the Berbers and the Spanish, they quickly accepted Islam because they were affected by Arius' teachings of one Allah. And then what happened then was, there was a woman by the name of Helena. And Helena then explained to Constantine that what you did is wrong, because she also came from the royal family, that you shouldn't have killed these scholars for believing in one Allah, which is the truth. And then Constantine regretted what he did. He called Arius back into Egypt, because he was the former scholar of Egypt. He called him back into Egypt and said, okay, you will be in charge in Egypt. So he called him back in the year 336. And when Arius arrived in Egypt, and he came with his student, Eusebius Nicomedes, he came in, and when he got into Egypt, the former priest and so forth who were upset that now Arius is going to remove this doctrine of three, they actually poisoned Arius, and then he was killed in the year 336. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told the Roman Emperor that if you turn away, then the sin of the Arisiyun, the followers of Arius, will be upon you. And then in the letter was quite a few things. This ruler of Rome was affected by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's letter. He took effect from this letter, and he was touched. So he said to Dihya radiallahu anhu, okay, go away. Go meet the Uskuf, the Archbishop. Uskuf was the Archbishop of Rome. So Dihya radiallahu anhu then says, I went to meet the Archbishop. I gave him the letter. I showed him the letter. He came to meet Qaisar. And Qaisar asked him, what do you think about this letter? The Archbishop tells him that this is the man we're waiting for. The scholar of Rome is telling him, of Qaisar, of Christendom. This is the man we're waiting for. This is the final Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then this Archbishop accepted Islam. But Qaisar was thinking of considering accepting Islam, but he was worried he will lose his kingdom. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Allah will save your kingdom. But he wasn't ready to accept that. That's why he even gathered all his people to actually inform them of this. And then when he saw that they were becoming very upset when he said this, he actually changed his words to say, no, I was just testing you. But my respected listeners, I'm realizing that if I'm going to shift to Dishya Kalbi radiallahu anhu, it's going very deep into that discussion. So what we're going to do, I'm going to complete with Abdullah bin Hadafa radiallahu anhu, then inshallah in the next week we will complete the discussion of Dihya Kalbi radiallahu anhu and his journey to Rome, because that was also a very interesting journey. Quite a few times he went to Rome once, and afterwards also when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Tabuk, he sent another letter to the Roman emperor to invite him again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give up. So anyway, that was the Roman Empire. Abdullah bin Hadafa radiallahu anhu, it was in the 19th year after Hijrah. He was in the path of Allah Ta'ala, striving for Allah's sake, and then the men of Qaisar, the ruler, the Roman ruler at that time, captured these Muslims. And what then happened was, they actually took them into captivity, the Qaisar instructed that keep them alive. I want to interrogate them myself. And he heard about the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. He heard about the Muslims. So he wanted to speak to them. And he heard how they were prepared to sacrifice anything for their iman. So this faith of the Muslims touched this ruler, this king. This was obviously another king, not similar to the previous Qaisar. This is another Qaisar, because one would die, another would rule. That was the system. But what was the success, what caused the Roman Empire to last so long was, they respected Rasulullah s.a.w.'s letter. They respected Rasulullah s.a.w.'s letter. And the barakah of respecting and preserving that letter, Allah Ta'ala made their kingdom last. This Roman king now, he calls for Abdullah bin Khadafa radiallahu anhu, and he looked at him. He stared at him. And then he said, I have an offer for you. So Abdullah bin Khadafa radiallahu anhu says, what is your offer? He says, أَعْرِضُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تَتَنَصَّرُ. If you become Christian, I will release you, I will honor you. The Sahabi denounces this immediately. He says, never, hey heart, I rather die 1,000 times than leave my iman, than leave my deen. Qaisar says, I see you are a nobleman. But if you accept my offer, that you become Christian, I will make you my partner in my kingdom. Half of the Roman Empire will be yours. And I will be a king with you. The Sahabi smiles and says, you know, if you give me your entire kingdom, not half, and the entire lands of Hijaz, the Arabian lands, for me to leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a blink of an eyelid, طرفتعين ما فعلت, I still won't do it. Look at the iman of Sahaba radiallahu anhu, my respected list. The king then says, then I have to kill you in that case. He says, you're welcome to do so. He commanded that the Sahabi radiallahu anhu was hung up. As he was hung, he says to his man, that shoot towards him, but don't shoot him directly, because just instill fear into him. So as the Sahabi is, you know, where he's being hung, these arrows are being shot at his direction, and this king is offering him, would you accept my offer of Christianity? And this is sad, my respected listeners. This is what Christians did throughout history. Whenever they went, they always forced Christianity onto people. But Islam, Muslims never ever forced Islam. Because Islam is to give dawah and not to force. It's to explain and not to enforce the laws of Islam on people. It's to explain the truth to the people. That is our duty. To force people to accept Islam was never done in Islam. And if it is done, it is incorrect. We have to give the dawah and not force. And then he says, okay, shoot him near his hands, shoot him near his feet. He's telling that man in his own language, in his Roman language. And then he's offering the Sahabi, would you accept now? The Sahabi refuses. He says, okay, bring him down. A big, huge cauldron pot was brought. Oil was poured in there. It was made to boil. It was heated to boil. And then 2 Muslim captives were taken, and they were thrown in this pot. As one of them was thrown inside, Abdullah bin Hudhafa sees how his flesh disintegrated and it was only bones left. Then he turned to Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu and said, now will you accept? And still the Sahabi rejects his offer even more than how he rejected earlier. This king had now lost hope. He lost hope that this man would ever leave Islam. He says, okay, throw him into the pot as well. The same pot that his 2 companions were thrown into. Throw him in as well. As the Sahabi is being held and taken towards the pot, he starts to tear. So the man taking him says to the king that he's crying now. So the king then felt that maybe now he has regretted his refusal. Maybe now he'll accept. Okay, bring him back. Then he's made to stand before this ruler. He says, now will you accept? The Sahabi says, never. He says, what's wrong with you? Why then do you cry? He says, what causes me to cry is I had a discussion in my heart right now. That I said to myself, تُلْقَ الْآنَ فِي هَذِهِ الْقِدْرِ فَتَذْهَبْ نَفْسُكَ. And now you're going to be thrown in the spot and you will die. But to give one life for my Allah is not enough. I was wishing to have that amount of lives equivalent to the hair strands on my body, and each hair strand be one life, and every life be given for Allah's sake, for Allah's deed, for Allah's pleasure, one after the other in the path of Allah. وكنت أشتهي أن يكون لي بعدد ما في جسدي من شعر أنفس فتلقى كلها بهذا القدر في سبيل الله. Yeah, my respected listeners, this is Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They would never give in. They would never submit their iman. They would never forsake their iman for anything. whether for the wealth of this world, or whether it was to save their lives, Iman was priority, Deen was priority in the lives of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, and this is how Deen reached the four corners of the world, my respected listener. This tyrannical ruler then says, he was finished, he couldn't believe it. He says, I haven't seen something like this, that what a man is prepared to refuse, and how much he's prepared to go through, but never forsake his Allah, never forsake his Deen. And where will Allah forsake his Banda? Allah takes care of his servant. Allah took care of Sahaba. Allah takes care of the Muslim. Allah takes care of people of Iman. He says, okay, will you then kiss my head, and then I will release you? So Abdullah bin Khadafa radiallahu anhu said, I thought to myself, but okay, if I kiss this man, and then he'll release me, and I asked him, okay, what about all my Muslim brothers? Okay, I'll release all of them. All of them you'll release? He says, yes. So I said to myself, what's the harm? I can actually bring this benefit and get my saatis released. I kissed him, he released all the Muslims, and then we departed, and we returned to Medina Munawwara. When we arrived, this entire Ka'ab Kuzari was given to Umar radiallahu anhu, who was Amirul Mu'mineen. Umar radiallahu anhu became so happy, and he looked at all the Muslim captives who were liberated, and he said, حَقٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ أَنْ يُقَبِّلَ رَأْسَ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ حُذَافَةَ وَأَنَا أَبْدَأُ بِذَلِكَ. It is the duty of every Muslim to kiss the head of Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, and I will be the first to do so. And Abdullah bin Hudhafa, everyone kissed him, and Sahaba were very happy with this wisdom of this Sahabi. And then he gave his life for Allah's deen. He was sent again and again and again in the path of Allah Ta'ala, up till the time that he passed away far from home. He passed away in Egypt. He passed away in Egypt in the path of Allah Ta'ala, striving for Allah's deen, teaching the deen of Allah Ta'ala. It was during the Khilafat of Uthman radiallahu anhu, where Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. May Allah give us tawfiq to understand the lives of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Inshallah, in the next opportunity, the next week, we will discuss Yahya Qalbi radiallahu anhu's journey to Rome and what he did in Rome and the efforts he made, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Let's make a few seconds, send the quls to the Sahabi radiallahu anhu and all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا